Okay, open your Bibles to Galatians 6, just kind of where we left off this morning. Thanks for coming back out. It's a blessing to be here. My two boys that are preachers, I tell you what, they go back and forth. Joe probably stole that quote from Marshall, to be honest with you. So you don't know about them. I say that in love. I do say that in love. One thing I did not address this morning, which is usually the elephant in the room, is my patch, okay? So I had an exercise accident. In fact, May 14th, just 5 years ago, this past week. And so I kept the eye for about 14 months, but finally they did all they could do and had to take it out. But with taking it out, you know, all of the pain of the eye went away. So I'm very grateful for good doctors and good medicine and my wife nursing me through that. So it was the only problem is, you know, before Patch the Pirate died, we would travel in churches and the kids would see me from a distance away and what would they think? And so they would come very excited to think I'm Patch the Pirate and they get closer and closer and you could see their heads just drop. I said, no, I'm not Patch the Pirate. I said, he is greatly talented. He can write music, play the guitar, sing. And I said, he's a really nice guy and I'm none of those things. And so they would kind of quietly walk away. But anyway, so the patch has been a blessing because it does give, wherever we go, there's an identification. If somebody's struggling, they know that we have been through things, and I think God's used it to help open up hearts and allowed us to minister to people. So anyway, but thanks for having us. It's been a good weekend, and I trust this evening's service will be a blessing to you. So Galatians 6, I remember Galatians 5, what we covered this morning, was really, you know, walk in the Spirit, right? So we learned what a spirit filled Christian is, the works of the flesh versus the works of the Spirit. And so this passage just goes right on into Galatians 6:1. And you know, as we look at this, again, three marks of a Spirit-led church, I really think this draws a picture, okay, of really what a church, one way it should operate. I think Acts 2 is another great passage of the things the first church did. And then you got Revelation 1 through 3 and really chapters 2 and 3 of those seven churches and the way Christ did actually review those seven churches. And those reviews, five of the seven churches were told to repent, and they were, you know, roughly 40 years old. And then we have this passage here which tells the church what to do on certain things. And, you know, I always like to draw, but I had no artistic ability at all. Zero. Oh, and by the way, thank you for playing the violin tonight. You know, one thing, parents, you can invest in children. Music is a gift. They can do their entire life to serve the Lord. You know, so thank y'all for doing this in church. That's a blessing. But anyway, back to my, when I was their age, I liked to draw. I couldn't draw, but I found something called tracing paper. Now, for younger people, tracing paper is a paper you can put over an object and trace the outline. And so if we look at this passage tonight, I just want you to think of Galatians 6, 1 through 5, being a grid, a picture, and let's put Colchester Bible Baptist Church over that. You with me? And let's see how we do here. So again, I want to read Galatians 6, 1, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Brethren, brothers and sisters, this is folks within the church, right? Brothers, sisters, brethren. If a man is a man, another believer, is overtaken in any trespass, any sin, anything like that, ye who are what? Spiritual. You who are, Galatians 5:16, you who are walking in the Spirit. Okay, so this is the total context here. You who are spiritual, restore to one in a spirit of gentleness. In other words, a gentleness is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Father, we do thank you for your word, that it is inerrant, it's inspired, but also, Father, is sufficient to equip us to do what we need to do. And we so thank you for that. So, Father, meet with us tonight. I pray our hearts will be open to what you have us to learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so three marks. Number one, confronting. So Galatians 6:1, confront your brother or sister. Brethren, if any man, another believer, is overtaken in a fault or a trespass. So let's do some definitional words here to make sure we got it. So again, brethren, believers, right? Okay, overtaken. If you think this way, caught alive in a snare, okay? Like, or caught alive in a trap. It also could be considered possibly even, you know, even to be overrun, okay? But I think of a snare. I like to think of an animal caught alive. So if anyone is overtaken in any trespass, any fault, any sin, so this is a named sin in Scripture. This is not simply a bad habit, okay? But this is something that's named in Scripture. So if any brother or sister is overtaken, ensnared in a sin, you who are spiritual, again, spiritual, go back to Galatians 5:16, you are walking in the Spirit, you're being led of the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, this is what you do. You, next key word, restore. Think of this word, make useful again. Make profitable again. Two ways this word was used. Number one, in mending a broken bone. So many of you, you know, if you've had a broken bone, like most of us have, where it goes in a cast or something, doesn't make it move, to do what? To restore it, to mend it. Also, this term was used as the fishermen, as Christ called fishermen to be the disciples, right? Much of the Bible is written around the Sea of Galilee. And fishing has a lot to do with that. And you saw men as they were, what would they be doing to the nets in idle time? As they were not fishing, what would they be doing to the nets? Mending them. This is the word. This is the concept. Make useful again. Because what good is a net that's got holes in it? Okay, so this is the word restore. This is what this carries. This is what it means here. And you do it, you restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. And again, if you go back up, this is in verse 23. Again, King James uses the word meekness, but this is the same word, part of the fruit of the Spirit. We do it in gentleness. We do it, this is the way it's carried out. The Spirit, not harshness, not one, but this, as we're going in the Spirit, we can do it with gentleness, not in anger. Okay, so we got to understand, so let's look at this. This is a command to do. One of the hardest commands. So what are some reasons we would not want to do this? Now I'm going to get a cough drop right quick. Yeah, hand my water. You know, we got rid of the pollen in South Carolina about a month ago. And y'all are just getting it now. So, pardon me while I bark at you a little bit. All right. So, why don't we do this? Well, who am I to do this, right? Who am I to go and confront a brother and sister in Christ about their sin? Or I don't have my act together, so why should I do this? Who am I to judge another one? We hear these excuses, but here's the favorite one. Oh, no, this has got to be the pastor's job. It's not what it says. The brethren, brothers and sisters, if you are being Spirit-led, if you're being led of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, when you see one overtaking a fault, it's up to you to go do this. If this is ever easy, you're probably not going in a spirit of gentleness, you're going in a spirit of harshness. So this should be very difficult to do, but empowered by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, this is what you should do. Now, and another thing to think about this, you know, think about Psalm 1. So if you know somebody's having a problem in an area, why send them to somebody else? Because this is what it says. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight's in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. So you that are meditating God's word day and night, you're walking in the Spirit, you are fully equipped to go and restore. Again, our goal is restore, not condemn. When they're overtaken, when they're caught in a snare, you need to go and you need to do this. So this is confronting your brother or sister. Now let's keep reading in the passage. Go to the end of 6:1. You got to confront yourself. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So you're told to confront yourself, check your own heart, and make sure that as I go, that my heart is right with God, and I am walking in the Spirit. So we've got to consider ourselves, we've got to confront myself. So I've got to ask myself, am I walking in the Spirit? Can I go in the fruit of the Spirit? What is my motive in going? Am I really going with the attitude in my heart to restore such a person? You follow me?
So I've got to consider myself. So I've got to consider myself because I want to make sure I'm going in the right attitude and being filled by the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is coming through me. In fact, I even think of it this way. If you go back to thinking of one overtaken in a snare, almost think of the word rescue. Because as you go to another brother and sister, you may be the one to rescue them out of the snare they're caught in. And that's got to be the attitude of which we go. We confront the brother and sister, but we also need to confront ourselves. Look at verse 2. Third mark of a Spirit-led church, comforting. First part of verse 2 says this: bear one another's burdens. Pastor Love mentioned the one another's, and this is a key to understand. This word bear really means to put your hands upon someone's shoulders to help them carry a load. And I want you to notice this. This word burden in verse 2 is a crushing load. Okay, it's very important we understand that. So the burden here in verse 2 is a heavy load. It is a crushing load. I need to make sure you write that down. Now here's the thing about it. So in verse 1, what are we going to do? We're confronting. When you go to confront and you go and rescue someone, you just don't leave them there. If they're overcoming something, then you come along beside them. Verse 2, you bear one another's burden. You pray with them. You help them. You come along beside them and assist them as they're being rescued. It's important we understand that. We pray for them. We meet to encourage them. Now, please understand, you do not take ownership for their sin. You with me? But then again, you put your hands on theirs and you help them carry the burden they are carrying. Because this load is heavy. It's a crushing load. And we got to understand that someone is caught in sin. They're ensnared by sin. They're entrapped. They're overcome. And this is what we must do. We must help them. We must help them. Now, there is a difference here between being overcome in a sin and being overwhelmed by life. You follow me? Because are there really some hard times that come into believers' lives? Yes, there are. So overwhelmed may or may not be a sin, really. It may just be either a burden of, you heard this little girl, the sick, or you lose a spouse to death, or whatever it may be. So we must understand there are some things that go through in life that overwhelm us, but it doesn't mean that you're in sin. So what do we do? What does a believer do in that point? I want to remind you that if you are overwhelmed, your pastor has many spiritual gifts, but mind reading is not one of those. One of my sons puts it this way. It's a pastor. He said, I can't read your mind, but I do answer my phone. You follow me? What do we know from Scripture? James chapter 5. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Anyone among you sick? You're burdened? What are you told to do? Let him do what? Call for the elders of the church. Because the elders of the church can't read their mind. So as a church member, if you are overwhelmed with something difficult in life and no one knows about it, would you please call a deacon, your pastor, another believer? Call them. You have an obligation to. Now again, confronting, comforting, we do go and comfort others, and there's a time here that there's a time for you to call on others to help comfort you. So let me ask you this. Is there something right now you need help praying for? Don't leave here tonight before you get another brother or sister. Go off in the corner and pray about it. So please do that. Never forget, as we were wrapping up our ministry in Rock Hill and leaving the pastorate, there are always, how do I put this? There are always people that you offend along the way. And you go and you try to make it right. But there was one couple, I knew I offended them. I couldn't tell what it was. I tried to track them down. So finally, Gretchen, we said, okay, let's have them over for dessert before we leave. I've got to figure this thing out. So,
you know, we had them over, and after dessert, we were sitting at the couch, and I said, look, talk to me. What is it that happened? What did we do? Oh, you know. I said, I don't know. I said, did I miss an email? And we have connection cards in the, on the, every bullet. I said, did I miss? Did you turn in a card that I was supposed to call you? Is there any? No, but you know what it was. Now, folks, maybe I did miss something. Maybe your pastor missed something. But don't just go away, right? Call for the elders of the church. Call someone. And let them know what's going on. Don't just let this go. So you got to ask yourself, bear one another's burdens. And that's a double-edged focus, what we do here. Look at the end of verse 2. Look at the single-edged focus. And so fulfill what? What does it say? The law of Christ. Now, I know we're picking up Galatians here at the end, but this word law is throughout Galatians. I think it's used 32 or 34 times. So when the law comes up here in Galatians 6, 2, all of a sudden, okay, as you've been reading Galatians, okay, puts it in context. So as you go through Galatians and this verse comes out, so as you're doing this, as you are bearing one of those burdens, as you are caring for each other spiritually, if someone's got that heavy load and you're helping them carry it, you are fulfilling the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? Galatians 5, 14, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. John 13, 34, new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So this is you fulfilling your commandment because you do it in my focus to fulfill the law of Christ by loving everyone in my church. Everyone. And my purpose and your purpose should be fulfilling the law of Christ that everyone in this congregation, you should have a spirit of love towards. In fact, it ought to be such a spirit of love that as you look around those around you, right now, can you name one prayer request as you look around? Okay, how am I praying for them? How should I be praying for them? This is the way the law of Christ is fulfilled in the local church. So we need to understand right now, look around you, what is one prayer? How am I demonstrating the love of Christ by praying for those in our church? What is it when God lays somebody on your heart? A spirit-led prompting to pray. You may not know why. You don't need to know why. But here, very carefully, at the end of verse 2, it says, for in doing so, I fulfilled the law of Christ. So there is a comforting. And finally, look at verses 3 and 5. Mark number 3. So Mark number 1 is confronting. Mark number 2 is comforting. Mark number 3 is considering. Look at verse 3. For someone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So we must consider our thoughts. So what do we really think about ourselves? Oh, doing pretty good. Doing pretty good until you realize you're not. This verse tells in reality, we may be think we're doing fine, but in reality, we may be really as nothing. We may be deceiving ourselves, deceiving, false reasoning about what I'm really doing about myself causes me to stray from the truth. Now, is false reasoning being deceived easy to do? I put it this way, we all have spiritual blind spots. Now, I've got a huge one with my left eye. In fact, our grandchildren, we have 13, The ones that are that really like to, they have a contest when we have a reunion or whatever, when all we're together, who can stand at my left side the longest and not they, then I don't know they're there. They do. So they have a contest with that. Because they know what? I have a physical blind spot, right? But folks, we also have spiritual blind spots. We are so easily deceived. And what this verse says, we think ourselves to be something when we're not, we deceive ourselves. Years ago, Gretchen was all speaking at a ladies' conference, much less like this, and we're finishing a week of meetings with an evangelist, and it's Friday night, and you're worn out, and you're tired, and you know, we live, so literally, if we did not live in a parsonage like the Loves, but if
If you came out of our church parking lot and turned left and went about 25 feet and turned right and just went up the hill, our house was in the same subdivision. So it was late Friday night, and I was exhausted. And so I came to the parking lot, stop sign. I stopped, I turned left, and I turned right, and I had blue lights flashing in behind me here. So I'm thinking to myself, I pulled over. I said, now how in the, what did I do in 25 or 50 feet to break the law? So I want to be a good, you know, we have policemen in our church. I want to be a good citizen. So I sat there. What do? You put the car in park, put your hands on the steering wheel, and you don't move. Right? Because they're doing all their things. And I sat there. And I sat there a little bit longer. I said, man, this is, what happened? So the, you know, your mind's going crazy. And so finally, after it's about 10 minutes, I said, no, something is wrong here. So I kind of held my hands up, okay, and opened the door. Are you with me? I mean, I want to make sure they didn't think I was in doing anything wrong. Opened the door, got out. But this is when I had two eyes, by the way. Okay, this was not one eye. This was two eyes. Got out. There was no cop. Any of you had retina tears? So how these lights flashing, really, they were blue lights because my left retina was tearing. I was totally deceived is what was happening. Totally deceived. But I want you to understand that in our own lives, this can be you as well. You can be totally deceived about how you're doing. Consider yourself. You know, I love this passage in Luke 18. Christ spoke this parable to some, trusted in themselves. They were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a what? What does it say? The Pharisee, and one was a what? Man, the most hated. Okay, so here we go. The Pharisee stood, prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this what? Tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give my tithes, all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, beat his breast, and saying what? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Christ said this, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humble, but whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. And the Word of God tells us, if anyone thinks himself to be something, he is nothing, he deceives himself. There are times it hurts when someone questions you. In our church years ago, and let me put it this way, critics can help us. Okay, can we say that again? Whoever your critic may be, God may use this critic to help you see a flaw in your life. You follow me? All right, so I came from the business world. In the business world, you make business plans, you set goals, you do all this. And so I did that in the church. Okay, in 1 to 2 years, this is what we want to do in this area, in this area, in this area, 3 to 5 years, this area, 6 to 10, you know, lay it out. This is where, by God's will, by God's grace, if he allows it to happen, we'll go. So one night after a business meeting, we were just thanking God for what he allowed to happen. And a man came up to me and said, the only reason you put these goals up there is so you can stand up there in pride and say all the things the church has done. Wow. I can tell you this is the furthest thing from my mind, but what did it do? It made me start checking my heart. You know, I got to go back. Is planning even biblical? Or do we just trust God? You know, so I had to go, it put me on a great search to really say, okay, is it even biblical for us to plan? And so what I'm saying, that critic, it hurt, it stung. That was not my reason for doing what I did. My reason was to celebrate what God had done. I can tell you that with a clear conscience. But the critic helped me understand I may could let this go into pride. It's so easy to deceive ourselves. So we must consider our thoughts. So why am I doing what I do? What is my motive for playing the violin in church? What is my motive for anything you do in church? What is your motive for doing? Is it to be seen by men or live a life pleasing to Christ? So it's a very sobering verse here we need to take care of. What is my attitude? With what spirit am I serving this way? So we must consider our thoughts. But look at verses 4 and 5. We must also consider our works. But each one of you examine his own work, and then have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his...
Now I'm reading from the New King James. You've seen King James said this way, each one must bear his own load. Okay, King James uses this. Each man must bear his own burden. But there's a difference. Key difference. Verse 2 is a burden that you need help in carrying. It is a crushing load. You with me? Verse 5 is a personal load that you should be able to carry. For instance, the word is also used of a soldier in the Roman army of his backpack. He was expected to be able to carry a certain weight on his backpack. So this is something that you should be able to carry. So there's certain burdens that you're going to have in your life. They're not going to be crushing as in verse 2. They're going to be those that you need to do as a believer in Christ. It will be your responsibility to carry out. Bear one another's burdens, but also carry your own load in the local church. Our youngest son, Andrew, was in the army for a number of years, and you know, he was a West Point grad, so he was trained to fight, trained to go to war, and then Afghanistan, right? So he was heading to Afghanistan, getting shipped off, and he had some time, so he came by our house, and we had some time together, and we were saying, I said, so what are you going, you're concerned about your son being killed, right? And I said, so what are you going to wear? What's your armor look like? He says, oh, we have a chest plate. He said, I got in the truck, you want to see it. Now, this son, Andrew, at this point, he's 6'3", 6'3 and a half, and at this point, weighed about 240. He's a big dude. Real big dude. And so his chest plate, I put it on, and guess what? Ain't no way. You with me? Why? It was made for him, not for me. So when God gives you this, notice what it says in verse 5. For each one shall bear his own load. So God puts certain responsibilities and obligations upon you. There's a believer you are expected to carry. And again, verse 2, the crushing load. This is, people come along beside you, but here in verse 5, he's saying, okay, there's a load you're to carry. There's a burden, there's a responsibility you have as a believer and as a member of a local church. This is your load. Think of it this way, same word being used here. In Matthew 11, this is what Christ says. Remember, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And then he says this, for my yoke is easy and my burden, this is the word used in verse 5, my burden, your personal load is light. Because Christ gives it to you and gives you this is what you should be doing. So in the local church, three marks of a spirit-led church, this is where each person is carrying their own load. Not just two or three people are doing the responsibilities of the church. I'll tell you a very self-incriminating illustration, okay? So I joined a little Bible-believing church in 1979, met in a funeral home chapel, didn't have a building, and we had about 30 people, and the church began to grow. And so we developed a little children's church, right? Like I think y'all had a children's church this morning. So the pastor comes up and says, Marsh, would you be willing to teach children's church for a while? All right, now at this point, I'm about 23, I'm single, I'm not married, no children. And I sat there thinking to myself, what about me? Now, all right, let me say this. I was thirsty for the word. I came to every service with a notebook, highlighter, pen, and pencil, because, you know, I'd been saved earlier, and this is the first Bible-believing church I've been in, and I was just soaking up every sermon. I just loved every sermon. And he comes up and said, I need you to go teach children. I think, what is it about me that makes you think I want to go teach kids? This is my thinking. And so my first response was, absolutely not. I have a nephew or two, but I don't know anything about kids. Teaching children. I want to be in the preaching. And so my response was, no, I don't think I want to do that. So again, the kind, gentle pastor, well, would you at least pray about it? Okay, pastor, I'll pray about it. So you know what happened. You go home and the Spirit of God just starts beating you up. why did I respond that way? And of course, I went and did it. But see, that was my first response. What is it about me that you think I want to go do that? But there was a need.
And sometimes the needs you see, if something drives you crazy in a church or irritates you, driving you crazy maybe too strong, but something irritates you, you may be the one to go fix it. You follow me? All I'm saying is, are you carrying your load within the church? So two questions for you in the end here. Do you see yourself as God does? Right now, this evening. Do you see yourself as God does? You know, I tell a lot of stories in my sermons because I think they paint a picture. But I was, it was a Monday, and like Pastor Love, I play golf on Mondays. Don't call me on Mondays. I'm carnal on Mondays. My wife doesn't even want to talk to me on Monday. I'm just kidding, okay? But I mean, Mondays is a day of recovery, okay? But I do play golf on Mondays. But anyway, so I was at home, and the guy I normally play golf with on Monday afternoon called me. He said, I need, can you meet me in your office? It's a deacon. He knew my Monday schedule. Therefore, I knew when he called me and wanted to meet me in my office on a Monday morning, early on a Monday morning, I knew something was going on. He came in, we sat down, and I said, so what's going on? This was his quote. Let me back up a minute. He's a graduate of a Christian college, married to a godly believer. They had three children. He came in and said this, I'm a fake, I'm a fraud, and I'm a liar, and I just got saved. It's a deacon. He saw himself as God did. His wife had been on him to get, you know, refinance their home. His interest rates were coming down, and he had been lying to her and lying to her. And really that morning, he was going out and was going to walk in front of a transfer truck, tractor trailer truck. He was on the highway to do that. He saw himself as God does and realized God did not want that, that God could forgive him. And that day, Mike got saved. So can we be honest and say, okay, are we willing to say, can we really see ourselves as God does only by God's grace, okay? Only by God's grace. But we need to ask ourselves that. Second question is this. Can we see others in our church as God does? Three marks of a Spirit-led church. Can we see others with the same compassion, gentleness in our congregation? You heard the testimony. The lady said she felt someone not a part of the church, right? Remember the testimony. This, y'all have a church. It's like a family. Wasn't that the testimony? Family, we love each other and we care for each other. So can we see each other in this congregation as God does? Because when we are and we do, it's a mark of a Spirit-led church. Confronting, comforting, and considering. There's a phrase that says, all hands on deck. There's a book called, I've forgotten what it's called, but Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's not. A church membership, church involvement is not a spectator sport. It requires everyone here to be committed. Galatians 5, you're to be walking in the Spirit. Galatians 6, you are to confront, you are to comfort, and you need to consider your own heart. So my question is, we need to see others as God does. We need to see yourself as God does. And are you willing to go and to say, Lord, what would you have me to do at Colchester Bible Baptist Church? What would you have me to do? Now, let me tell you the easy things to do. Now, I love to cut grass. That's my, you got, I know your lawnmower's fixed now, okay, so it'll be fun again. Cutting grass is easy. Getting along with someone and discipling somebody and walking someone through that dark place of their life That's spiritual. That takes spiritual sweat. When you come along with somebody and they're going through a difficult season, it's much easier to, now don't get me wrong, grass cutting is important. And making meals for others, it's a great, that's part of the hospitality of the church. But really, when you're on the phone for an hour and a half, walking someone through a difficult season, that is really caring for each other. When you're willing to get on the phone and call somebody and say, hey, I haven't seen you, how was last week for you? When you're able to go before someone and know the burdens on their heart, so when you're going down your church roll and you're praying for people, you know the actual burdens they're carrying. That is what this is talking about. So I got to ask you, are we really seeing others as God does? I trust the message has been a challenge to you tonight, because every church, everyone's got to be involved. Everyone has got to carry the load. I'll close with this. If you have that crushing load in your life, or maybe you're just overwhelmed and you haven't told someone, tonight is the night to share that with somebody. Tonight is the night you get with somebody before you leave and say, hey, can I talk to you a minute? You need to do that. And if you know with someone going through this difficult time, or maybe they're truly overtaken in a sin, then as Pastor Love comes and closes us, you need to pray, Lord, I need to do this. Lord, give me the strength to do it. Help me consider myself. But Lord, I know I need to go and do this. Walk in the Spirit, and then consider the three marks of a Spirit-led church. Father, we need you tonight. I pray we can truly see ourselves as you do. Lord, take our blinders off. We're so deceived. Take our blinders off. Help us to see ourselves as you do. And Father, more importantly, please, God, help us to see others as you do. Father, there are people hurting. In every congregation, there's always those hurting. Help us come along beside them. And Father, also pray that we would have a tender heart where we need to change to be more like you. Father, thank you for your word and the power of it in Jesus' name. Pastor Love.